The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed, it's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my brother, main advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy. One breath.
I knew it. Incredible.
And the whole intro in one breath.
What up, Trav Nation? I'm your middleest brother, Travis Big Dog, Woof Woof McElroy.
Hi, everybody, Trav Nation. I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy.
Welcome to Health and Wellness with
I
the McElroy brothers.
Of wealth and hellness. And what? Health and wellness.
Wealth and hellness. That's good, Griffin.
That's pretty sick, actually. That's
whoa. Hey,
body,
everybody, write that down.
Wait, TM.
My body is operating at max peak efficiency and power.
This is max.
Yeah, man. Can you not tell the vibrance? I know I'm bringing a vibrance. So don't tell me that I'm not bringing a certain vibrance.
Yeah.
Griffin,
it's the most like facial hair I've ever seen you have.
Yeah, it's the power.
Griffin looks like he's about to unveil a disappointing telecommunications product.
No.
Yeah.
No, man. No tech, no AI, no investing, no nothing.
Are you swapping your blood out? What are you doing?
Cryo-freezing? Everyone's really always kind of swapping blood out if you think about it.
Holy shit.
Just with
the way. Are you biohacking?
I'm not biohacking. It's more of a bio-awareness. I'm not having to change things necessarily with nanobots or nanomachines, but by kind of like turning the mind's eye inward at my body's different factories.
Oh, all your humors and stuff?
My humors and my elements and all that jazz. Yeah. It's really been a game changer for me.
So how does it work?
Lots of stretching.
Stretching, okay.
One big bottle of water every few days or so.
Drinking? Oh, okay.
How did it feel, by the way, quick sidebar, when due to a TikTok, your consumption of water became a subject of a lot of people discussing the amount of water.
A lot of people out there saying, doctors say you got to drink 4 gallons a day, and a lot of people saying, like, doctors are wrong, and I'm over here like, I drink when I'm thirsty, and it's been going all right so far.
That's why
thank you so much, guys, for your advice on this one. When I get thirsty, I drink the water to make it feel better. I don't need anything from you on this one.
This is why I've completely forgotten drinking any water. I have one glass of red wine a day, like doctors in the 80s recommended.
Yeah.
I have a big bar of dark chocolate, and I just go back to sleep like a bear.
I bought some prime flavored additives to add to my water.
That's huge, man. Congratulations, dude. That's huge.
They were so, my kids demanded them and they were so frigging rowdy and disgusting. They just sat in the drawer, right? They sat in there so long. And because that tastes like ice pop, but they don't. They taste like a salty vegetable.
That's the Logan Paul branded health supplement prime. Right?
Yeah, man.
Vulgar.
Does it work?
Does it work? It works if your goal is to remind you how good water is.
Yeah.
That it works for that. But they were so nasty. And Cooper said, hey, there's a kid in my class that loves Prime. And I told him that I'd bring him a bunch of Prime packets because I knew we'd just have him sitting around and we all hated him. I was like, sure. But I forgot that I had thrown those out like a month ago.
Oh, man.
Fast forward, I'm at Kroger, 8 a.m, buying more Prime. For her to bring to this kid that she promised Prime.
And a notification pops up on Logan Paul's phone, and he's like, I'm back.
You got Justin. Do you guys mind if I hit the acupressure mat right now?
Yeah, you said you would do this live for us on mic.
I got an Instagram ad, and it was like, if you put sharp things in your back and press up against them, it helps with your back pain and your depression.
Let's check it out.
Let's give it a
swing. Okay, this is baseline, Griffin. We're going to see if we can notice a difference.
I want you to see how sharp they are. There's a trillion of them, and they, like, that sucks. Ow, 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 ow.
Okay,
ow.
But we're gonna measure Griffin's depression level after laying on it.
Hit me so now. This is baseline.
Right.
That's baseline Griffin.
Baseline.
Pretty depressed.
Truth be told.
So let me hit the gritty real quick. We'll see what happens.
We'll see if we can.
Oh, fuck. Ow, fuck. Hold on.
Gotta get some lobs.
Here's Justin. What I know is that acupressure and stuff like this, laying on a mat requires you to just be very, to spread evenly as you relax portions of your body.
Good, okay, man. Okay. Good. This is the problem with this. The only problem with this bit is it will never be as, it's impossible. The listener will think it is as funny as I think it is to hear Griffin in pain. They will not laugh as hard as I will.
And
it will
be supposed to be relaxing for Griffin.
I'm not doing this right. I'm not doing this right. It hurts so fucking bad.
Is this your first time using it, Griffin?
Hold on.
Your body?
Oh, he's taking his shirt off. That's going to make it better. Maybe the thin layer of protection was making it feel too good.
How is this arm?
It's so much worse.
Keep going. Keep doing it until you've relaxed into it.
Man, I never thought about stunts as a possibility for this
show.
Yeah,
man, self-inflicted stunts.
Jackass-style stunts.
Can you guys hear me okay from there? I've pulled my mic all the way under my desk.
Yeah, do you want to just do the show like this?
So what is happening, Griffin? What is this mat doing for you?
Stabbing me 100,000 times.
With needles or just the feeling
the
of
pain,
needles?
The pain makes the blood go to it so it gets hot.
So is it an actual needle or what's actually happening here?
They're more like cleat spikes. Like on a cleat.
Uh-huh.
I can't sit up to talk in the microphone without flexing certain muscles that makes my back muscles go fucking crazy.
And just so I understand, Griffin, and listeners, don't message me about this. The problem, your depression is based off of not having enough blood in your back? Is that what?
I'm thinking about the depression right now, which is great.
Maybe that's part of it.
There is a depression that is being created by the pokey things in your back, right? There's several depressions being created by those.
Yes. Maybe it cures your depression because when you get off the mat, you're just so happy to be done doing it.
Yeah. The same way of drinking Prime.
Oh, shit. I don't know how to sit up.
Roll off the side.
Just roll off the side and cry.
Oh, it's not going to be pretty, but no one's going to see it. Ah, fuck.
Griffin is his own worst enemy.
Oh my god, your back is so red.
Your back's so red. Did you fall?
That's the blood.
Okay.
Are you back with us, Griffin?
No, you can see that he's unshirted.
Unsheathed.
I wish he would stay down there to do the show.
Well, it hurts too much to do that.
We'd lose him, I think, is the problem. So, okay, now we can judge.
Can we do a quick side-by-side of your depression?
Yeah. Look at, oh, he's smiling. Oh, he's feeling great. Look at him.
My back hurts and itches.
Are you?
And that makes you happier?
Are you smiling because you just realized what a lucrative path Jackass-style stunts are for this podcast?
If that is a Jackass-level stunt, those gentlemen have really toned things down.
I said style.
Yeah, it's not a level.
Okay. I genuinely feel great right now.
Bring that with you on tour, and one of us can like put their balls on your face, and then it's a Jackass.
What are you now putting a spider in my penis and balls on face? Now we're Jackass. Electrocute me dead.
While you're on your acupressure mat.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're talking.
Please don't email me about my acupressure mat.
Don't email any of us.
I use it for the vine for the most part, and I drink water when I'm thirsty. I'm totally fine.
Leave him alone. He's not fine. But
the results of my latest physical surprised even me. Clean bill of health. Healthy and well, wealthy and hell.
You guys, I can't put you guys over here. Sorry, I put you guys over. I had a blood draw, my first blood work in quite some time. I was supposed to get some when I was 40. And I just wanted to let you guys know it's all good.
Yeah?
Me too, dude.
Me good, three. Man.
Hey, my LDLs are a little bit high. Is that the bad cholesterol? Whatever.
Yeah. That's
my HDLs. My 4K
bad ones are high. My HDMIs are through the roof.
Yeah,
I've got 4K blood, guys.
Yeah,
it's all good. This is an advice show. What I'm saying is, you can listen
billions of sperm.
You should listen
a terrifying amount of sperm.
You should listen to us. We have perfect health.
We're going to be around forever.
Perfect health, perfect choices.
That's the McElroy way.
I work in an office, and we have a communal puzzle that people work on during breaks or casual meetings. About 6 months ago, a coworker brought in a puzzle of a Jackson Pollock painting. The office lost momentum on the puzzle, so this coworker made a scoreboard of the number of pieces placed by each person to motivate us to finish. You guys should do work.
You should work
at
some point.
Get back to work. Hey, I'm your boss. Get back to work. This worked on me, and I've been putting a lot more effort into the puzzle. I'm pretty good at it, and I've put 5 times as many pieces as the second place person, 15-3, in the first week of the competition. I'll stop whenever I go to the bathroom or the kitchen and get a piece in within a minute or two, and then I'll go back to work. People are now making jokes about how I must not be working and just spending all day on the puzzle. Should I dim my puzzling talent to stop people thinking I'm a slacker? So we kind of like wandered into that unintentionally, but it is a legitimate issue.
Okay,
the amount of work you're not doing because of the puzzles?
No, here's what's blowing my mind. We have to look at the math here, fellas. You're telling me, if I'm reading this correctly, in the first week, you placed 15 total puzzle pieces.
How many pieces is the total puzzle? Do we know? It's Jackson Pollock. It's got to be like a 500 or a thousand.
Let's say it's 1,000. It's 1,000 pieces. 1,000. You wouldn't bring anything less than 1,000 pieces into the office.
But they said a minute or two and then go back to work. We're looking at most over the course of, let's say, 5 business days. 30 minutes of puzzling.
Right, but like what this person is saying is the fact that they are good at this and they are.
Makes it seem like they're spending
makes
too much
it seem
time.
Like they have a lot of free time, which they probably do because most smart people have figured out ways
how
to work
do
around
job, like 8 minutes.
Like, and then just kind of stare off into space for the rest of the time. But listen, should you step that down though? Should you hide that light?
No,
I don't.
Because
think
I
so.
Think if the next highest, let's be honest, if the next highest person is 3 in a week, it's not about you're wasting time. It's why don't they care more?
Why aren't they stepping it up?
Why aren't they stepping it up? I don't think 15 is an astronomical level to be doing.
No, but there's a layer to this question that I would invite you to consider, which is that it has, in the history of humankind, never been beneficial for a person or group of people to consider you to be the puzzles guy. Think about any scenario in which someone's like, oh shit, this... Survivor being obviously the most high stakes at one of it, when they're like, oh, you're a puzzles guy, right? And it's like, yeah, man, me and my wife do puzzles at home all the time. And then Jeff Probst walks over and he's like,
you're the puzzles guy.
Here's 1,000 sticks and you stack them together and it forms a triangle that spells words upside down and backwards. And it's like, well, that's not a puzzle, Jeff. That's crazy. Never is it good for you to be the puzzle guy. The best you can do when you're the puzzle guy is enough.
This is I've the noticed normal amount. Griffin recommends a lot of very good like reality TV show competition things. And whenever I watch them, I've noticed this tendency of like whoever the cast, no matter how many people, it's 100 competitors or 6 competitors, whatever. They all seem to, on day one when introductions are made, find any handhold, any bit of info to be like, so that guy is the one to beat because he talked about that book once, and that book, and so he's the best at puzzles.
That's basic game theory 101.
And then
shit.
You cut to that guy, and he's like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
I don't think a high-pressure puzzle situation will arrive in a day of someone's life working in a casual office setting. But one day... there will be a bad puzzle that you have to solve before you in an emergency or to win a contest.
Right.
And
or an emergency contest.
An emergency contest. And you will be turned to and be like, well, time to do your special. We've let you get away with so much shit.
Why are you making it? The only thing you're doing for this person is making the severity worse.
I'm affirming
like
them.
You're
I'm
affirming this, but you're not helping. You
it's
know what I mean?
It's a good fear.
We are looking at this all wrong.
It's a good fear.
It's too late to step it down.
Yeah,
it's
you guys.
You've already been acknowledged.
Step it up, Travis?
You need to walk around the office in like a robe and like, here's why.
That's the quickest
15
you've
ever lost. To three. No, hear me out. 15 to three. You
Siri,
need to
erase log. Erase log.
You need to get unseated. And the only way you're doing that.
You're in a different weight class than everyone else. So
you need to inspire someone to be like, I'm going to beat them. And then as soon as that's done, you're free. You're free from the cave. They're in the cave now. Or you finish it. Those are the two things. Either you need to get, you need to drive someone else's competitive streak to unseat you. Yeah. Or if you're going to be the puzzle guy, be the puzzle guy. Go in and finish this 1,000-piece puzzle in one day.
Or one day, that's the new one, Les. Okay. Or you go in one day and you sit down at the table at 8 in the morning and you start putting pieces of the puzzle in. And you maybe don't get up from doing your work. Around lunchtime, they're going to come into the kitchen to kind of check on you. At this point, you are basically serving John Travolta phenomenon realness. Like spinning sunglasses telekinetically on a table and like your nose is bleeding as you're just like... You're using both hands to solve puzzle pieces at a time, like that Lucy, was that the name of the movie? With
with 10% of your brain.
Yeah, 10%
of 100% of her brain.
So then next day you come in and you're back to normal and you're like, hey guys, just a quick update on me. I can't do this puzzle anymore.
I burned out on it.
It almost killed me. I almost died. Like the end of all of these like smart guy gets telekinesis movies.
I would just keep doing it until your boss has to say like you have to stop. Yeah, the puzzle has gotten to be a problem.
Our numbers are way down.
Yeah,
there's a way easier version of my thing, huh? And it's just to get in trouble at
work. Hey, you're a surgeon. I need you to focus.
If you stepped it up to the point where your boss would publicly shame you, maybe everyone else would like. Well, I'll tell you, boss. I wouldn't have to do so many if everyone else would just pitch in and help with this bad puzzle. Or maybe could we all take a vote that we hate this puzzle?
Yeah.
I hate this puzzle. I'm throwing it away. What do you guys think?
What if they came in one day and you had written up on the board that you had done 200 pieces of this puzzle? And they're like, what? That's amazing. And they go in the break room and you just scotch taped a bunch of pieces together in the middle. And they're like, hey, man, you're not allowed to work on the puzzle anymore.
Yeah.
But I think maybe the pressure's gotten to you. You're not allowed to work on the puzzle anymore. And you're free. You're out.
You're free from the puzzle.
Here's
and what's
Jackson
that? They come to your desk.
Puzzle.
You've done your own 1,000-piece puzzle that no one else is supposed to see.
Of a kick-ass artist.
There's one other really easy fix, is you swallow one piece.
Like publicly?
If you swallow privately, swallow one piece of the puzzle, you will never again be compelled to work on the puzzle. You will see everyone else working on the puzzle and know that their efforts are in complete vain.
Oh, I see.
Because the puzzle will not be completed. They are working towards a nothing goal.
They are empty.
They're people. Empty. They're empty, pyrrhic people. And you'll sit in your nest. You'll never feel the need to help with the puzzle again because you know that the puzzle will never be complete because it travels through you.
When they finish and there's one spot left, you just go in, you lay down on top of the table and say, now it's complete.
And if
don't tell them why.
If they look at you and they say, why aren't you helping with the puzzle? I think you have to say to them, I am part of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are solving me.
You're helping me solve me.
I'm part of the puzzle. It could be more.
You could be like, do you think maybe if that last piece was in there, it would finally look like good art? Do you think it's that one piece of red and green goo that really ties this whole Jackson Pollock
painting
together?
Doesn't make sense unless you see where
I don't fucking get it without that.
So
little...
far, hey, so far, listeners at home, if you're keeping aboard, Griffin has opened up a discourse with himself and the audience about water, acupressure mat, and the quality of Jackson Pollock's artistic work.
It's fine. It's just, I mean, I had a Jackson Pollock painting as the background of my Zune for the whole time I had it. I'm very cultured.
So you know Griffin's an art aficionado.
So you know I know my shit. It's fine. It's just like, draw a thing, man.
Griffin's got a bunch of Keith Haring lanyards. He knows a vibe, all right?
I have a WikiHow that I would like to bring that is somewhat germane to the topic of conversation at hand. It is a spiritual sequel of sorts to a question we did back in episode 701, which was how to compliment a song. Today, let's describe 15 ways to compliment someone's art.
Okay? Oh!
Thinking of trying to find the perfect thing to say when someone shares a beautiful piece of art. Natalie sent this in, by the way. Thanks, Natalie.
Thanks, Natalie.
Thanks, Natalie. If you really love an artist's work and want to encourage them to keep creating, they'll love hearing a flattering compliment. While you could just call the artist talented, there are a lot of other meaningful compliments you can give them. Keep reading for unique examples of what to say to an artist so they stay inspired to keep creating. There's 15 of these bad boys. I think I'm looking for a straight thumbs up, thumbs down of how you guys, artists, how it makes you feel to hear these things. Whether it's coming from a place of, thank you, I feel very seen and legitimized by this comment, or this is you're talking down to me in a way that is just frankly is unacceptable. Let's start with, I was immediately drawn to this piece. Artists want to know their work stands out from the crowd, and artists wants to know other people connect with their work, so they love hearing that their piece caught your attention. So I think we're talking about a friend shares a beautiful piece of, I don't know if this is you walk up to an artist and say this, or if you're talking to a friend. I guess it's similar concepts both ways.
I think the friend the artist regardless, or?
The friend can be the artist, yes.
Okay, good.
And an artist can be a friend. If we're going to learn anything today, let's take that away. I think that the problem is that basically all you're saying here is like, hey, your art is noticeable.
Yeah.
And that doesn't give me good or bad either way.
Yeah. There's a big, big light that is shining on this one, and it's in a big box. And I saw that, and I was like, whoa.
This art is such dookie shit that I had to come over and look at it.
All the other art here is flat paintings, and this one is mixed media. So I was like, hell yeah.
Sometimes you go to, you guys ever been to a museum and almost everything's paintings. And then there's a part of it, or maybe just like one or two pieces where there's like a video looping and it's like, doesn't even seem fair because it's like, this is the best art in here. Everybody look, it's got a screen. It's like, it's making sound. Sometimes there's an interactive element. It's like,
this is it, right?
As soon as
they turn art in museums into video games,
It's like very.
That's kind of how I feel when you see the ones where it's like a bunch of twisted like wires and stuff, and then they shine light through it, and it makes a shadow picture on the wall.
Cool.
That's and it's like, cool art. Did the rest of you not know you could do this?
This is what I like about places like the Twist Museum of Optical Illusions. Why make a museum about a boring thing when you can just have a museum of fun things? Like the Museum of Modern Art still is about modern art, right? But the museum of like mustard, it's fun.
There's very little wiggle room with that one, I'll say.
It's just like a fun
I've also noticed when I go to museums how little of the paintings are cursed, or at least are cursed in such a way that someone
honestly
will tell me about.
And they don't even need to really be cursed, huh? It could just have on the placard like canvas, oil on canvas, 1979, artist unknown, a little cursed. Don't touch. And under all the paintings, it says don't touch. But this one has a special sticker on it. It says, because of curse. Because
do you know why a lot of them, you can't touch them? A lot of them are still wet. And I feel like, these days, a lot of the paintings, they haven't even finished drawing yet. They just got them out there.
Yeah.
And I think that's not a great experience as a viewer if I'm touching the paintings.
And you're like, it's still tacky.
I'm touching the paintings and my hands are coming away with paint on them.
And then you might touch your pants and now those pants are ruined.
Ugh. And they won't reimburse you for that, trust me.
Right. I want when you touch a master's painting, you and get very in touch with, if you feel the Mona Lisa, you know you're touching history.
They don't let people in the Sistine Chapel anymore because the paint goops down from the ceiling so often and splatters on their
and ruins
nice
hats and stuff. They should put like, don't touch, artist sneezed on this one.
Yeah.
Right? So now you know, like, man, if this is for your own good that you don't touch this, it's got boogers on it or whatever.
It should just say, don't touch anything. Like, if it's not yours, don't touch it.
Yeah,
just
if
like
you
everywhere
could,
else.
Ever. Come on, man.
You have to come to this museum with pockets in your pants that you can jam your hands in. You need to look surly as you stroll around. That was the first compliment of 15. We have to move through these much, much more quickly.
They should just bag up your hands when you come into a museum. They make you, like, you go to a comedian show and they put your phone in a sealed bag. You have to seal up your hands and everybody's just wearing these mandatory mittens.
Yeah.
But then you have David Blaine popping out like, hey, look who's free and touching everything.
Ah, David! Yeah. David!
You've done it again. God, you're so messy with paint. You guys are the
still be wet.
You guys are the artists. And someone walks up to you and says, this is so beautiful. This is so beautiful.
Thank you.
That seems pretty good.
Thank you.
What's beautiful about it?
Well, you wouldn't. Okay, so wait, maybe we
thank
should,
you so
Travis,
much. What is it about it?
That's really good, you. Travis. We should be testing this from every direction. This is a bad one, because then there will be follow-ups.
But I'm good cop. I'm good artist. So, like, Travis is bad artist. So we'll see. We can see how
I'm not bad artist. I'm artist filled with self-doubt.
Okay.
Let me hit you, Justin.
Like, really?
Then, like,
do you think?
This is so beautiful, Justin.
Thank you. Thank you, Griffin.
I hate it. I hated that. From the voice to the gestures to the vibe and the demeanor, I didn't like who you just
thank became. You, Griffin.
Now try it with me, Griffin.
Okay. Oh, this is so beautiful.
No, it's shit. What is it?
Okay, this one sucks. Fine. Thank you. You guys are both right. It sucks.
Thank you.
All the hard work you put into this piece really shows.
Thank you. I tried to make it look hard to make.
It's not helpful. The character you're doing, I feel like I'm not getting good feedback on the lines.
I'm just graciously accepting the compliment. I'm very used to being complimented.
It seems like you're workshopping your SNL audition tape.
Try it on me again, Griffin.
Yeah. Hey, Travis, all the hard work you put into this piece really shows.
Yeah, I tried my best.
If that's all that you're giving, and I assume you're that type of person, then I think I did a pretty good job. Yeah, go ahead, Juice.
Can I try again?
All the hard work you put into this piece really shows.
Here's Johnny.
Okay, hold on.
That's a good impression. I knew exactly who it was, Justin.
Okay.
That was a good.
Hey, let me try. Travis, you hit me with the line, and I'll try. Yeah.
Oh, all the hard work you put into this really shows.
Donkey! What are we fucking doing? We're just doing impressions of guys from our favorite flicks now, huh?
Now give me like a 30-second, just kind of like you're doing a character, original thing, like maybe, you know, out at a party or whatever. Hit me.
The work you put in this really shows.
The party? Thank you so much.
Okay. So next compliment.
That
is
was
going
the
to-
worst audition I've ever seen.
Yeah, from all of us. Your work always brings a smile to my face. This one's
that's
good for
good.
All of us. Like that.
I like that. Unless what if I'm that? What if you walked up to that though, and it was just like a painting of like the Scream or some like somebody in incredible pain, and you're looking like a tortured landscape of hell, and you're just like, always brings a smile to my face.
No, hold on. I'm not an art history guy, but the Scream is a funny painting. The way the guys look in that is so cartoons. It
does look like somebody squeezing a stress toy, doesn't it?
It looks crazy. It's funny, man.
I'm going to take your work always brings a smile to my face as an insult. That sounds like someone trying to phrase a wish specifically so a genie doesn't try to kill them. Like, I don't know. I just don't believe it. It seems oddly worded.
It seems very considered. Like, you've been thinking about, you've been practicing saying that.
I smile when I look at it. Yes, correct. Okay, this is true.
I love how you used color in this piece. And then they provided some words like cool, vibrant, vivid, flowing, delicate, bold, dramatic, deep, subtle, rhythmic, rippling, flowing.
I think there is a way to phrase that that would read as a compliment. But this is just, this feels like the theater equivalent of like, I like the way you wore costumes. Like you put color in the, I like that the painting isn't just a big square
of
gray.
That suggests that the costume maker is also the star of the show, that you also made the costume.
But I'm just saying, I like that you used color in art.
I think
art.
It's how you used color.
Yeah, not everything has color in art.
Sure. No, I still don't think you guys are quite understanding what this compliment is saying.
No,
it's not
that
like it's
that
saying
it's visible on the spectrum.
It's like, I understand. It's a beautiful use of color.
What's that? But like, what's that mean to
like,
you? When you
they
that?
Have a good amount of reds and blues and greens that you find pleasing.
And maybe some of them are mixed together.
All the different, all characters. Your different. If someone, if I say great use of color, what I mean is, hey, all my favorite colors are in this. Good job.
Yeah.
These are all the colors
I
like.
I like how you used green. It's my favorite.
Is there a school subject that the three of us show our asses on more than classic art, works of like specifically
anything
art.
Anything
no. Absolutely. I think it's Latin just, would be the only area that I'd feel stupid
Travis,
on.
I even know whatever, ergo sum, cogito sum, I think is how it goes.
I like.
So I know some Latin.
When the art has neon in it, because I know what neon is, and I think that looks cool, like future.
I like it when the paint's like how dry. It looks.
Yeah.
Your style evokes so many emotions. That one kicks ass. Ooh, if someone came up to me at a con, someone came up to me at a con and was like, hey, Griffin, your style evokes so many emotions. I would be like, well, that's good, objectively. That's great. Man.
Thank you.
There's nothing bad about that.
And that can also, you can use that to compliment someone's personal style as well.
That's true. Or just their energy.
Yeah, man. I love that one, actually.
I'd love to hear what inspired your work. I'm going to go ahead and say this one's not good because I don't want to talk about that.
No,
I just wanted to pay
interview.
You a compliment to let you know I liked your work and it felt good, but I don't need to know the whole thing. Your work, this one kicks ass. Now we're back around. Your work reminds me of Picasso.
Now that's so specific. Yeah. Wow, that's not a general one at all. That's not like, you can't just trot that out.
They provide a couple other, here's another quote. You're a modern master of painting. I don't think you should say that in a museum setting to an artist. You're a modern master of painting.
That's, I know that's not true.
Yeah, like, that's
I would be recognized for that.
I would know
point.
If I was a modern master of painting. No one is a modern master of painting who doesn't know.
With the Picasso one, the problem is that assumes that I have enough knowledge about Picasso's work to only use that when applicable, and I don't
have
that
no idea.
Kind of confidence.
You wouldn't be on WikiHow if you knew about that stuff, period.
That's a very good point. You could also say, if you would have told me this was a Van Gogh, I would have believed you.
No. Once again, a very specific art style.
Yeah.
I was hypnotized by a stage magician once, and he died in the middle of the act, like in that one movie Office Space. And it makes me believe any single thing that anyone tells to me. Sort of a reverse liar.
Yeah. I'm on a lot of mushrooms right now, and I like the way all your colors blend together, like when I look at a Van Gogh.
I find something new to love every time I see this piece. Is that?
Okay.
I think that's pretty good. There's layers. How about this one? I'm so excited to see what you create next.
More! Give me more!
Now, okay, here's
the beast.
That comes closest to what I think as an artist I would be looking for, which I need acknowledgement of skill, but also the idea that I have room to improve. Because if you give me a compliment that's 100% perfection, I know that's not true.
Yeah.
Right? I need, like, here's all the good things. You'll get them next time, champ. Like, something like that, a balance. Like, not this, but if you saw someone, if you were like, yeah, man, you're really coming along. It's really getting there, man. Keep at it.
You're saying you prefer criticism to compliments.
No. I'm saying that compliments
I have some evidence to that.
Okay. Compliments are not useful. Someone's saying, this is great, and you're like, okay, cool, man.
It make you feel really good.
I already feel good. I know I'm awesome. I've put my paintings up for display. You think someone does that without confidence?
But what you're talking about, though, is criticism, is guided positivity criticism. Like, you look at what people are complimenting, and you do more of that, right? So I'm just saying,
you're not talking about slams.
I think there's more investment in constructive criticism than just a 100% compliment.
Why not both?
I've revealed too much. I have. I've opened myself up too vulnerably in our comedy podcast.
I will say this. I got
Wait, reel it back. Fart.
I got criticism covered up here with this guy. This
That's
guy.
A good point, yeah.
Justin, my man Justin's got. He's got them in every flavor you want. Whatever kind of criticism, I already came up with it.
Maybe
you can't find a flaw that I'm not obsessed with.
Maybe the best one. I think this is universal. I have the perfect place for this at home. Is it for sale? That's really good, right? Because that either means like, wow, that's cool. Or it means like, hell yeah, I just made $250, which is the best kind of compliment you can get.
The only way I'm asking that question is if I know for 100% certain it is not for sale.
Why?
Because I say, oh, I love this. Is it for sale? And they're like, it is just $15,000.
Then you're like, well, that's too much money.
And I'm like, oh, no, never mind.
I don't have that many. But what if the art's like $80, Trav, and it's awesome, and it'll look
like
your house?
Is it sincere, though, Griffin? I'm saying if it's a piece of art that I sincerely enjoy and it's $80, yeah, I'd probably get it. But if I'm saying this because I can't think of another compliment to give, it's a bold choice.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe don't tell somebody you're going to buy their art unless you really mean it. Otherwise, you're doing the world's most low-effort YouTube prank show, and that sucks.
Oh, what about, I love this one, I can't wait to see what you do next, and I'll buy that one.
Oh.
Oh, I'll buy your next one.
I'll buy your next one's good. Do you mind if I buy your painting and resell it for a higher price?
Ooh, and you'll get no money from that. I can't stress enough, because that is, unfortunately, how the art trade works.
What about, this is such a nice painting, may I plan a heist of it?
Ooh! That would be the most flattering thing. So I'm willing to risk it all. I said I was out. Listen, yeah. I've been retired for 5 years, but the quality of your painting is enough to tell me it's time for one last job.
How about this? Your work has spoken to me. I'm building, some would say it's a commune, those with small minds. It's more of a gathering spot for like-minded artists with liberal morality to explore their craft in each other's bodies. And then the person says yes, and you're like, fuck, I didn't think you'd say yes.
Damn it. Shoot, I just buy it.
So then you gotta go. Then you gotta go to another friend and be like, listen, I'm putting together kind of a sex art place.
You in?
I gotta work fast. That guy's already in, so.
Do you have any land? That would also be helpful.
Yeah, he thinks he's gonna say I'm a major fibber if I don't come through.
We're gonna need several tents.
The bad
thing
is I don't even like his painting that much. I would have given him a normal compliment if I'd liked it.
And listen, he's handsome enough, but I just don't know that the vibe is there, you know?
I'm not ready for anything.
Do you guys ever think about the Mr. Bean movie where he messed up the painting
all the time,
and then he had to redo the face?
The Mona Lisa, I believe it was.
It was like Whistler's Mother, I think was the name of it. I don't know why I remember that. But then Peter McNichol saw what he had done to the painting, and just like it's a good like minute and a half long uncut scream. That's peak shit, man.
That's quality, man. That's good.
So this is my new segment. I'm gonna do it every week where I talk about one of my favorite parts from the Mr. Bean movie.
Yeah, I celebrate that guy's entire canon.
You know, I grew up as a kid. One of the things I was really afraid of was from the movie Witches, where a kid gets trapped in a painting and you see the kid walk around in the painting from time to time. And that terrified the shit out of me when I was like 8 years old.
I bet.
And I was afraid to look at paintings. And that might explain why I know so very little about fine art. But I think a great compliment would be to go to someone like, this painting makes me feel so happy and serene. If I crossed a witch and the witch wanted to trap me in this painting, I'd be way open to it for the first time. You've really unlocked some childhood trauma for me, and I think I'm ready to move forward in my appreciation of art. Put me in your painting, sir.
I'm ready to get in your painting.
I'm ready to get in your painting. I'm going to touch it. No signs of curses will stop me from getting trapped in your painting. Let me in. Why are you tackling me, big security guard?
Guys, we gotta pause it. We gotta pause the show so we can all watch this clip of the Bean movie together.
I'm good.
I think I'm all set, Griffin. If you want to watch it while we do the money,
one of us had an appointment. One of us had an appointment we had to get to right after the show, and I'm pretty sure it was you was the one that had something else to do, right?
I would love it if you would contact your eye doctor and be like, sorry, I'm late for my checkup. I just had to watch Mr. Bean.
You've taken up so much of the screen.
Yeah, Griffin screen shared it.
I can barely see my brothers anymore.
Can you hear that?
I can hear it so loud. He left it so much.
It's really good shit, man.
It's really good, Pete. I gotta get it to the editors, though. If I was trying to pick one of those as the funniest thing Peter McNichol did, I'm not sure I could pick one. I could shovel some of those in the dustbin of history.
All right, let's go to the Money Zone.
Sorry, it's the Johnny English theme song.
You know, can I tell you guys? Hey, guys.
Yeah.
I don't know why, whenever Doctor Who needs a new doctor, it takes them so long to pick one. They could just use ZocDoc.
That's good, Travis. Are you spitballing, or
what do you
mean?
Is
that what you're going with? Was that a beginning idea, or is that kind of what we're going to go with?
No, I thought, you know.
I didn't know if you were brainstorming or if you were just like
going right for it.
I've been developing that idea for 4 weeks, Justin.
It'd be great.
I hired a team of writers, and I was like, we need to nail down some connection between ZocDoc and Doctor Who, and this is what they came back with. I thought it was.
So the doctor dies, and like light is shooting out of his body, and then like a guy stands up, and he's like, "Hello, I'm Dr. Thomas. I am a podiatrist from from Great Grand Rapids, Michigan.
And I accept your insurance.
I accept. I'll take it. Let me check out those piggly wigglies."
Yeah.
That sounds like a good show to me, man. Yeah.
Same day appointment, too.
It'd be a good ad.
So you could also just use ZocDoc for real for the purpose it's intended, which is finding a doctor in the city you live in and making an appointment with them, and it's so easy. No, it doesn't have to be that.
No.
It can just be a really great service that I've used many times here in D.C. to fill up my sort of Rolodex of people who maintain my health and wellness. So I just go to ZocDoc, because it's a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors, choose the right one for your needs, and click instantly to book an appointment. In-network appointments with more than 100,000 healthcare providers across every specialty, mental health, dental health, eye care, skin care, so much more. And
Daleks hate this one trip.
It doesn't even have to be
what
Doctor Who
It doesn't
related.
Have to be a Doctor Who thing. It's sort of like...
I'm just saying it's a fact that Daleks hate ZocDoc. It's not related to Doctor Who. Both things can be true, guys, that the Daleks are the Doctor's greatest enemy, and also, separately, connected to nothing, they hate ZocDoc.
The number of times I have to have this conversation with you is unbelievable. Daleks aren't real. Doctor Who is not
on Earth.
Real. It's not real anywhere. It's a
They haven't made it here yet. They're coming a long way from
Starro. It's a fantastical story show. Created in the 1940s, and it's not, none of it is real. But ZocDoc is extremely real. So is the need that people have to find doctors in their area and book appointments fast, usually within 24 to 72 hours of booking, and you can even score same-day appointments. So that's just the distinction I want to draw here and make sure that's clear in the ad copy. Stop putting off these doctor's appointments and casting the next leading star of the BBC sitcom Doctor Who, and go to zocdoc.com/mybrother to find and instantly book a top rated doctor today. That's zocdoc.com/mybrother. zocdoc.com/mybrother.
We've all been.
Oi, Travis, it's me, Doctor Who. I'm totally real, and Griffin's wrong. Come be with me in my TARDIS. Be my companion, eh?
But he's saying
hello,
it.
Hello,
like...
hello. Come on, let's travel.
What is that?
That's the sound of me TARDIS taking off. Come with me. I'm
Holy
totally
shit.
Real.
Guys, nice. I know that sounds like Travis, but that I'm looking at the camera and a big blue box appeared and a big man just wrapped him up in his arms
that's,
and took,
that's,
took
we, him. I'm going to get in the TARDIS back here.
Okay. Is it going to make that noise?
I'm traveling.
That's your sound booth. Is it going to make the noise again?
You know, nutrition.
Bye, everybody.
Nutrition is so important. Nutrition
here he goes.
Is
watch
so
juice.
Important.
No, watch juice. Hold on. Don't start the next ad. He's going to warp.
I'm back.
Yeah.
In the time machine. He brought me back at the exact same moment I left.
Oh, the things I've seen, guys. The places
Holy
I've been.
Shit, man. That's cool.
The alien races. Oh, guys. I've smooched so many aliens.
Okay, but in all that's the galaxy, awesome, did you ever find meals that were as fast and nutritious as Factor?
No, Justin, that was the one thing that me and my best friend, the doctor, could never find. Yeah, that's why we came back.
Tell me, doctor, why is this planet worth saving?
What about Factor?
That was really good,
man. What about Factor?
That was actually a really good Dalek, jeez.
Yeah, but you do have to keep talking about Factor.
Well, I thought one of you guys would do the Doctor Who.
Did you hurt your throat just then?
And would be like, Factor meals are actually... one of the best things about
because
Earth.
I'm still in the TARDIS.
You know what, guys?
Yeah.
Point taken. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. They got 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. You always have new flavors to explore. the restraint my two brothers are showing in this moment from not putting on what I believe the British call a pantomime.
I'm practicing my David Tennant impression in my head to see how good I can do it.
That's good. Yeah, you can bust that out. Maybe we'll save that to keep people hooked through the ad.
What I'm thinking about, Griffin, is that I'm hungry, but it takes 100 years to make anything that's full of delicious nutrition.
Don't blink.
It doesn't.
Don't even blink.
Factor meals are ready in 2 minutes. No shopping, prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. You just head over to Factor. Head over to Factor Meals. Do it quieter in your head, please.
In your head, quieter, silent.
In your head, quieter, full no silence. Sound. Head to factormeals.com/brother50 and use code brother50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code brother50 at factormeals.com/brother50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Oi. That's the closest I got.
That sounded like the guy from The Boys.
It sounded exactly like the guy from The Boys.
Jackie Cation, hi, and welcome to the MaximumFun.org podcast, The Jackie and Lauren Show, where we talk about stand-up comedy and how much we love it and how much it enrages us.
We have a lot of experience and a lot of stories and a lot of time on our hands. So check us out. It's 1 hour a week, and we drop it every Wednesday on MaximumFun.org.
Hello, podcast recommendation service.
Hello there, young man. I'm looking for a new podcast to listen to. Something amusing, perhaps.
Oh, what about Beef and Dairy Network?
Something surreal and satirical.
Well, I would suggest Beef and Dairy Network.
Ideally, it would be a spoof industry podcast for the beef and dairy industries.
Yes, Beef and Dairy Network.
Maybe it would have brilliant guests such as Josie Long, Heather Ann Campbell, Nick Offerman, and the actor Ted Danson.
Beef and Dairy Network.
I don't know. I think I'm going to stick to Joe Rogan.
The Beef and Dairy Network podcast is a multi-award-winning comedy podcast, and you can find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want a munch! Squad! I want to munch!
Squad.
Welcome to Munch Squad's podcast, the podcast profiling the latest and greatest of brand eating. Today, I'm going to be talking to you about Snickers.
Okay.
Oh, the taste that satisfies?
Sorry?
The taste that satisfies?
Yes. Snickers, the taste that satisfies, because Snickers has... well, actually, hold on. Let me go grab my friend. He said he wanted to help.
Oh, man. Now, wait a minute. The only friend I can think of, I'm very excited about the opportunity to see again.
We will have to watch our language.
Usually there is a green screen that this particular boy child...
I'm a child chocolatier.
That's haunting from a distance.
A prodigy since 4 years old. You have not to fear.
Hi, Isaac.
Chocolate. I love to podcast. I'm a child chocolatier.
Hi, Isaac. Hi,
buddy.
Hi,
guys. How's it going? Welcome back to the show, Isaac. Yeah.
I was going to say that, Isaac. You don't have to say welcome back to the show, Isaac.
Practicing how to be a radio guy.
Oh, it's a podcast.
Are you sick?
No, I'm just regular. I'm so excited to tell you guys about Snickers.
The taste that satisfies?
Yeah. Snickers has drafted an official chocomancer to help NFL fans predict their favorite team's fortune through a delicious bite of a Snickers.
That's so interesting.
It sound like they're making chocolate come to life, though. Do they?
Right.
It doesn't.
No, it's not that. That would be something of merit. This is an official. So Snickers is the official chocolate sponsor of the National Football League. And they're giving fans a satisfying glimpse into the future with Satis Fortunes, which is a way of predicting your favorite team's fortune through one magical Snickers bite at a time.
It's S-A-T-I-S Fortune, not S-A-D-D-E-S-T, which is how I heard it
right.
at first.
Yes, that's accurate. Although,
if you eat a Snickers bar and it reveals truths about your future, that's a sad.
That would be sad. Listen. They teamed up with a real Chocomancer, Jennifer Billick, who has all kinds of different ways of telling the future with food. And she made up a new one for Snickers.
Okay. Wow, you're loving this one, Ice.
It's just, guys, they made a thing where you can take a bite of a Snickers and then you can see what the future holds for you.
Based on how much
it's in it.
Now, it is important to note there's a risk here, because 1 out of every 100 times you will see your own death.
Right.
Yeah. So the Grim Oracle, they call it.
They're helping fans get in on the action of Saddest Fortunes. They had unique traits of Snickers bites that were deciphered by Jennifer Billick, who is the Chocomancer. And they had a representative from each team, including mascots, took their own bites of Snickers that were read by Jennifer Billick. So what happened is each team had to pick one person to go and bite the chocolate to read the future of.
And how did they make that?
How do you make that decision?
They sent people with fake mouths and their fake mascot heads to do it too?
Jam it all the way in. There's a you could buy a bite guide if you have a favorite team that you love very much. Here, let me share you my screen so I can show it to you.
It's okay. We are in no hurry, Isaac. You take your time. You're doing a really good job, by the way.
So here you can see each team has their own saddest fortunes, and you could pay $8 and they'll send you 5 Snickers bars and a chart that tells you how to read. So here you go. You can sort of see here the different criteria of reading the chocolate
shell stability.
I cannot believe they've provided an actual step-by-step guide on how to read your
Griffin, that's how you know that they've partnered with a real Chocomancer and not just a snake oil Chocomancer.
Right, so the more breaks in the chocolate shell is an indication of a greater number of turnovers forced.
Okay, but is that adaptable to my own life, Isaac?
It's more football focused.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Like, for instance, the caramel indicates the direction of where your future's leading. So, like, if you have a nice pull on your caramel, when greedy
distance. You have a long pull.
You have a long pull. If a pair of caramel pulls left, the team could have a greater success in the red zone.
That feels very manageable.
The middle of the field could prove more fruitful. I don't know how you score points in the middle, but go with God, I guess.
I hate to get clinical, but just for a second, are we all pulling a lot of caramel out of our Snickers bar with each bite? Because I'm pretty like, I sort of close it all around and sort of cut it all off.
I create a bit of a perforation and then I just rip it
off. I don't need a big stretchy bite. I have fancy clothes and my mom has to wash them. If I get caramel on them at all, she says that she has to wash them, but she hates when I have to do that.
You got to go back to nougat success.
Nougat equals success. I'm not controlling the tab anymore. It's just going on its own because I stopped looking at it. Hold on. I'll get you nougat.
We got caramel direction.
Do you guys know what nougat is?
It's like a fluff. It's like a fluff that goes in there.
Great.
It's like a fluff that goes in there.
Even more adults won't tell me what nougat really is. I just want to find one person that'll tell me the truth. I'm old enough to know.
I can figure it out in just a second, Isaac.
So what did you want
to be in a huge hurry today?
Peanuts equal opportunity.
Peanuts equal opportunity. That's so true.
If there's a protrusion of peanut, the team could enjoy a better average starting field position on offense.
Someone spent moments in their life doing it. This, maybe it was AI though. What would make you feel? Hey guys, can I ask you a question? What would make you sleep better at night? If AI made this or a person did? What makes it harder to buy a Snickers tomorrow? Which would make it easier?
Can I say, one of the rare instances, maybe the only one I can ever think of, where either answer is actually kind of delightful to me. The fact that a computer could be so whimsical, even though it's taking someone's job, that's not great. But the whimsy that the computer can show actually makes me feel a little bit safer about our future. But also, if a paid Chocomancer partnered with Snickers to do this for real, that's also pretty good to me.
I just want to also point out that this is so wild that there is literally a category that's nut integrity, and we haven't even touched on that. That's how much wild shit there is in this press release.
Nut integrity. Let's see. More intact than broken peanuts could mean a defense that enjoys strong play calling in big moments. Gotta have that.
You gotta have good nut integrity. I thought it was intensity at first, which did definitely draw my eye.
People are going to gamble away all their actual money because of this Snickers ad campaign.
Right.
And I don't know how they can be okay with that.
Yeah, you have to give them some modicum of credit for not teaming with FanDuel or something like that. Right. You can
Jason,
turn that
what
bite
happened
directly into a bet. Bites for bets. It's just directly bets based on your bite. With the power of Gen AI, we will place your bets based on your Snickers bite.
The bank just called. They said our retirement fund's been fully drained. Yeah, listen. The Eagles had a lot of nougat.
It's a sure thing, babe.
It's a sure thing. You should have seen this caramel pull, Stacy.
The integrity on these nuts, my God, man. You could build a bridge.
Four
with these
intact nuts, Stacy. The caramel went to the left. We're talking strong red zone plays.
They also did a special thing where you could buy a 5-piece Saddest Fortunes kit for your team. And it was $8.88, but they didn't make very many because they're all sold out now.
No, I'm sorry.
Have
you had a Snickers bar before?
Am I allowed to have chocolate?
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. You can call yourself a Chocomancer if this person wants to, but Snickers isn't, I don't think of it so much as a chocolate bar.
What do you
have?
It's a meal replacement.
It's a Choco flavored meal replacement bar.
It's a Choco forward meal replacement experience.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, guys, I've seen the future too, and that's that. I'm gonna get back to work because people are.
Who you got your money? Who you got your money on? Who's looking strong this year?
Huh? My dad.
Just based on.
Bye.
Bye.
Justin returns. Isaac a lot.
Yeah, I did too. That's a good kid.
He's a good kid. He's got a good head on his shoulders.
He's going places. Hey, listen. This Thursday, Abnormals episode 1 is out now.
Hell
with no
yes.
swears. You can already listen to episode 0 of Abnormals. And the first episode, like I said, this Thursday. Thank you to everybody who came out to see us in Orlando and Atlanta. Next, on October 19th and 20th, we're going to be in Denver and Phoenix. We're also going to be in Indianapolis and Milwaukee coming up. And Dad and I are going to be heading out to MCM London in October and get all the information, all the tickets and more on all of that by going to bit.ly/McElroy Tours. Also, over at the merch store, McElroyMerch.com, we got Tad's 10th anniversary coins.
They're so cool.
10% of all proceeds this month will go to Equal Justice Initiative. So go check it out, McElroyMerch.com.
Thank you to Montaigne for the use for our theme song, My Life is Better With You. If you haven't listened to Montaigne's music, but you enjoy the intro and outro of this show, I invite you to dive into their catalog because it is there's so many stone cold jammers in there.
Yep. Hey Griffin, I'd love it if you would read the Funk Lore this week.
Sure.
Just raise this wish up. You ready?
Yeah, sure. I wish I could stop farting while I'm in the puppet.
My name's Justin McElroy.
So are you guys ready for me to read the wish or
My name's Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported directly by you.